Well, I apologize for our late start. I was concerned that we would be late because I had a mass at noon, and then I did get here late, but now it wasn't because of that that we're late, it's because of our technical problems. So isn't this the way it is? We might do our best, but circumstances always humble us. Well, here we are. We're in the third week of Lent already, and in Lent we focus on the journey of Jesus Christ to the cross and resurrection, and on our own journey as his followers. So we're not only focused on Christ, we're also focused on how we can follow him. And already we have gone with him into the desert of temptation and up the mountain of the transfiguration. You see, the church gives us lots of wisdom about how to follow the Lord, especially in Lent. It's a very rich season of the year. But it doesn't mean that we're necessarily following him or even listening to him. You know, one of the first challenges of communication is to get people's attention. That's true for us, it's true for parents, it's true for teachers, it's true for advertisers, it's true for the Lord. The first thing is to get people's attention. And you know how, if we notice that people aren't listening, well then we raise our voice or we do something. And advertisers are great at this. They know what will catch people's attention. In fact, they'll do anything they can to catch people's attention. I think you work in advertising or graphics. I mean, it's something. Eyes or ears to catch people's attention. Well, the Lord God is the greatest communicator of all. He's the speaker of the greatest message of all, the Word, the Gospel, and even the Lord finds that no matter how great the message, sometimes or often people are not listening. So he'll do anything he can to get our attention. If we're aware of this, it gives us a perspective on the different things that happen in our life and why things seem to be going wrong. Sometimes it's just the Lord trying to get our attention. We should not confuse that with the message itself. Once we get someone's attention, then we have to give them the message, which is not always the same thing. Or what catches our attention? Lots of things. Sounds, fear, surprise, beauty, things that are unusual catch our attention. Awe-inspiring things catch our attention. Funny things catch our attention. Stories are usually much more attractive than simply facts. That's why Jesus tells parables, including today, parable of the fig tree. Bad news tends to catch our attention more than good news, which is just the way we are. Psychologists have studied that, you know, why people are more attracted to bad news than good news. It makes it challenging when you're proclaiming the gospel, because the gospel is good news. Anyway, in today's gospel, which is good news, what catches our attention is the bad news, the massacre of the Galileans by Pilate and the falling of the tower that killed 18 people. Of course, that's what people are thinking about because that's what catches their attention. And they ask Jesus about it. Well, we could any day of the week look at the news and find something about a massacre or something about a falling tower or a natural disaster, a typhoon, an earthquake, a pandemic, a war in Ukraine, anything. It could be broken down communication, anything. Death of a famous person, politicians who cause a scandal, lots of things. They'll catch our attention. But do we get the message that God is giving us? That's what I'm concerned about. Just having our attention doesn't mean we get the message. Have we gotten the message of the pandemic yet? It's not about viruses and about how to preserve our health. It's about our priorities. What's really important to us? Do we have the message that the war in Ukraine is telling us? It's not simply, kawawa naman ang mga biktima na sa Ukraine. yeah, we, that is a natural reaction, but is that all there is? Oh, too bad for them? No, what about our change? What about our compassion? What about our prayer? You see that, you know, the Pope is calling everybody to pray, especially on this upcoming Friday, for the people of Ukraine. So this is really part of it. What catches our attention, yes, but then what is God telling us in that moment? Okay. Now, in Lent, I say there's lots of things that catch our attention. We have a dramatic confrontation of Jesus with Satan in the desert, and then last Sunday, spectacular view of glory shining in the face of Christ. Oh. And this week we have the massacre and the falling tower, and the question in the hearts of the people this week is, well, why does that happen? Why did that happen? Why did God allow that to happen? What does that mean about God, that he allows people to suffer such tragedies? What does it mean about us? And they bring it to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't really answer all those questions. He shifts the attention. Once he has, he says, I have your attention now. Now, take the opportunity to take a lesson for yourselves. Don't judge the victims. That's the first thing he says. Don't think that those people who died in the tragedies are the most guilty, the worst people in Galilee or the worst people in Jerusalem. No. And that should be common sense to us. We should know that the people who die are not necessarily the guilty ones. The people who died of COVID-19, are they worse than we are? Or the people who have died in Ukraine, are they worse than we are? Obviously not. That would mean dead people are always worse than living people. Is Mother Teresa worse than Putin? I'm going to compare dead people with living people. We might as well bring up the saints. They're dead. So, okay. So it's absurd to think that people who die are more guilty. What about the martyrs? They died. Are they more guilty? No. So, and Jesus says, okay, set that aside. But then, aside from compassion for the victims, learn the lesson that is really about yourselves. You see, he shifts the attention away from the victims. The victims, yeah, that catches our attention. But then he says, it's not about the victims, it's about our need for repentance and about the limited time in which we have to repent. The time that we have to repent is fixed, limited. It can be extended, but it's not indefinite. Not only. It's limited. You see what happens. God catches our attention, then he gives us a message. And the message is more important than what actually catches our attention, no matter how dramatic it might be. So we're being told, repent now, get back on track now, before you run out of time. We are supposed to bear fruit. Like that fig tree, we're supposed to bear fruit. We're not here simply to exhaust the soil. Now, I think in Courage, people already know the call to repentance. And I find members of Courage return to repentance frequently. And that's maybe ironically or paradoxically part of the fruit of having SSA, having a struggle with obvious temptations, is it makes it clear that repentance is needed if you're going to keep on track. So maybe that's an advantage. So I'd like to focus, rather than focus on these examples of repentance, I'd like to turn to the first reading. I think this might be more fruitful for us. I hope you don't mind that. Because this is one of the most famous examples of attention getting in the Bible. This is the story of Moses' first encounter with the Lord, the famous passage about the burning bush. So let's go there for a moment. Once again, we go up a mountain. Last Sunday, we went up the mountain. Moses was there too, remember? Moses and Elijah. Well, here's Moses on the mountain. Only this time he's not shining with glory. He's just an ordinary shepherd. In fact, he's a bit of a failure. He ran away. He's been a shepherd for years and years, almost 40 years now. He's an old man, and pretty ordinary guy. He's on Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. But Moses doesn't know that. He did not pay any attention to where he is. And what gets his attention is this, and what gets our attention is this strange phenomenon of the bush that is on fire but is not consumed. It's a very profound image. It's a combination of ordinary and extraordinary. Nothing more ordinary than a bush. We're not talking about a majestic tree. We're not talking about a fruit tree. We're not even talking about a fig tree. We're just talking about a bush. And some people call it a thorn bush, a bramble. It's almost like a big weed. That's the ordinary part. And then there's the fire. Fire is really extraordinary. It's attractive. It looks like it's alive. It's destructive. It's powerful. It's hot. They don't go together. Bushes and fires don't go together. But here it is. And that's what catches Moses' attention. Now, Moses could have said, I'm busy. I've got a lot of sheep to take care of. Or he could have said, I'm really tired. I've been climbing this mountain with all these sheep. Why should I climb up there and look at that bush? Or he could have said, I don't care about bushes and fires. He could have said, it's late. I don't have time for this. You recognize those excuses? No, we would not think that Moses could ever do that. But that's exactly what we do. I'm busy. I'm tired. I've got other things to do. It's late. That's what we do when God is trying to catch our attention with something that's not a blaze of glory from heaven like last week. It's something that is appealing to us or attracting us. We don't have to respond to it. If Moses had not looked over there and said, well, let me explore this, he could have missed the whole encounter with God. See the lesson. God is trying to catch our attention. He's always trying to catch our attention. More than advertisers are, he's trying to catch our attention so that we meet him. It doesn't always work, but God doesn't give up either. Okay, now what happens when we pay closer attention to what God is doing? Same thing as what happens to Moses. We meet God. We find out that God is present, that God is at work right now, and that he's right in the middle of these ordinary circumstances. That's why I joked about the tripod. You think God isn't involved in tripods and phones and hot weather? He's involved in everything. So we meet God, and we discover what Moses discovered. God is alive. God knows us by name. Moses. He knows him. God says to Moses, "You better take off your sandals. You're on holy ground." Moses didn't even know he was on holy ground. Well, we don't know it either. We're walking around as if we're in an ordinary place when in fact we're in the presence of God. God reveals that he knows the situation of his people. He has seen their suffering. He's heard their cries. He knows that they're enslaved and they're miserable. And he has decided to do something about it. I'm going to rescue my people. Now, for some reason, this was cut out of the reading today, but you know what God's decision was, what he's going to do to rescue his people. Not at first any miraculous or dramatic event. The surprise to us is that he decides to send Moses. I'm going to save my people. Moses, you go to Pharaoh. You see the contrast? Fire, bush. God's desire to save his people, Moses. I'm talking about ordinary Moses, not the Moses that we think of, the lawgiver, Charlton Heston and all the great things about Moses. I'm talking about ordinary Moses. Moses, the ordinary shepherd, tired shepherd, failure shepherd, Moses, who was a murderer and ran away from Egypt years ago. Moses, who has a speech impediment. Moses, who's not qualified to do much else. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is I think this fits more our community in Courage. I don't think people in Courage are so caught up with the idea that they're great and that they don't need to repent. I find Courage members tend to be a little bit down on themselves, like Moses might be. I'm just an ordinary guy, and just like any other bush, I'm a failure and had to run away. Well, this is the bush that God chose. He said, this is the symbolism is not only to show God present in the world, but to show God's presence in Moses and to show us his presence in us. All of us are the bush. Who's not a bush? And we all look pretty much the same, like a weed. We're not bearing lots of fruit. No matter how many years the soil has been tended, we're not bearing lots of fruit. We look like we ought to be cut down. And yet, God chooses us. He chooses us. Even though we don't have any qualifications, even though there's nothing to make us stand out, what Moses learns here, and what we are also to learn, is that it doesn't matter what our qualifications are or our lack of qualifications. It doesn't matter. What matters is God and his decision to choose us. What matters is God sees us. God knows us. God loves us. God has mercy on us. God sends us. This is a good Lenten instruction. Now, we don't get caught up focusing on our sins. We don't get caught up focusing on how ordinary we are as a bush, or how God isn't showing us anything extraordinary, or whatever thing might be distracting us, how we're so busy, or we're so weak, or we're so whatever. We're not the center of the world. God is. And when we turn to him, then we learn who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. Moses was a shepherd, but God had something else in mind for him. Well, God has something in mind for each one of us. He calls us. Okay, so God has chosen us, and not because we're qualified, but because of his own love. Because in his mysterious plan, which he could do a different way, he's decided to include us. But he wants us to cooperate. So he comes, he sets us on fire. Each of us is a bush set on fire. He gives us his Holy Spirit, fills us with his love, and then he wants us to do what he wants us to do to cooperate with his plan. Okay, that's the message. So don't waste your time. Don't exhaust the soil. This time, these 40 days are precious to us, and they will come to an end. The 40 years of our life in the world is precious to us. It will come to an end. And we're supposed to bear fruit. So turn away from sin? Yes. I think you're doing that. I have to honor Courage members. They turn away from sin. Maybe they fall. But they turn away from sin again. And that's what we're all supposed to do. So turn away from sin, get back on track, and open yourself to bear fruit. Like that tree. Like that bush. The fruit that God has in mind for us. God will bring forth good fruit from us. We might not see it ourselves, but God will bring forth good fruit from us if we follow him. So we follow him through this Lenten journey. It's a dying journey, but it is the most glorious, most fruitful of all journeys.